From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. There is mixed news reflecting current continued weakness in the U.S. economy today, with the unemployment report weaker than expected. Unemployment held steady at 5% in April, while the economy had a net gain of just 160,000 jobs, which is far less than the 200,000 predicted by most economists. Business services, healthcare, construction, and financial sectors gained, while employment declined in retail and in mining. President Barack Obama called on the Republican-led Congress to pass legislation for a higher minimum wage and more spending on infrastructure.
Congress should raise the minimum wage. This is something that would not only help those individuals who are getting a bigger paycheck, but it also means they're spending more, and that would be a boost to business.
The bright spot in this, according to people from the banking sector, is that lower than expected job gains mean the U.S. Central Bank is not likely to raise interest rates anytime soon. President Obama is also proposing new regulations requiring U.S. companies disclose more information about their owners. The regulations are in response to the Panama Papers, the leak of millions of documents detailing international tax evasion through secret offshore accounts. Speaking on Friday, the president called on Congress to do its part in stopping tax evasion by the wealthiest few.
I've been talking about this for a while. Only Congress can fully close the loopholes that wealthy individuals and powerful corporations all too often take advantage of, often at the expense of middle-class families. If they're getting out of paying their fair share of taxes, that means that the rest of us have to shoulder that burden.
The proposals would require companies to disclose their owners to the Internal Revenue Service and allow law enforcement that information. This is VOA News. Fighting between al-Qaeda-linked militants and Syrian government forces killed 73 people in a village near Aleppo early today. The battles, reported by the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, allowed the militants to retake the village of Khan Tuman, 15 kilometers southwest of Aleppo, along with several others near the strategic Damascus-Aleppo highway. The attack was carried out by a group of insurgents, which has refused recent efforts to de-escalate the crisis in Aleppo. Meantime, the UN is warning that those responsible for such attacks will be brought to justice, including for the attack of a refugee camp near Idlib on Thursday.
Those responsible for yesterday's seemingly calculated attack against civilians in the camp in Idlib, which could constitute a war crime, must be held accountable.
That was UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric. Activists say two missiles struck the camp, killing at least 28 people. Baghdad went on complete lockdown at various times on Friday, fearing a repeat of last week's turmoil when protesters stormed the fortified international zone, broke into parliament, and forced lawmakers to flee for their lives. The government set up concrete barriers around the city, and foreign embassies inside the international zone increased their security visibly. Razor wire, concrete barriers, and police blocked some of the streets, but by late afternoon, the feared demonstrations had not materialized. Meantime, in London tonight, they are celebrating the election of Sadiq Khan as the city's first Muslim mayor and a sign of changing times for Britain and its population of nearly 3 million Muslims. Sadiq Khan's victory represents a departure from the past in many ways. In the past six decades, London has grown from a homogenous city to a booming, vibrant, cosmopolitan and multicultural capital that draws people from around the world. The final results, however, show a polarization across the larger British population, particularly on the image on the issues of immigration and demographic change that his rise to power represents. In North Korea, Kim Jong-un has opened the first ruling party Congress in decades, hailing the country's recent nuclear test and launch of a satellite into space. Kim told thousands of delegates at the 7th Workers' Party Congress today that his nuclear weapons and missile programs have brought dignity and national power to North Korea. Dressed in a Western-style suit and tie, Kim was flanked by his top military aide, addressing the first ruling party Congress in 36 years. He praised the country's scientists for creating milestone miracles, including the sound of the first H-bomb of the Republic. Meantime, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is in Russia, hoping to ease strained relations between his country and Moscow before President Vladimir Putin heads to China for a bilateral summit next month. At the top of the list, the islands Russia calls the Kurils, Japan calls the Northern Territories.
That's the latest world news from VOA.